There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look down yonder, Gabriel. Put your feet on the land and see. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Ain't no grave can hold my body down.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. We're glad to have you here tonight. Those of you all who got here by TSA blimp or those who kind of sailed over here on the Mayflower, it's good to have you. This is the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network, and I am your host, Dale the Truth. We got a busy show tonight. We got two guests scheduled, so we will cut to the chase fairly quickly. If you at any time are listening on the phone lines and want to get on the air with ourselves and the guests, then just press the one key on your phone. If you have not yet called in, and maybe you want to, the number is always 858-683-1326. 858-683-1326. And the date is Thursday, February the 13th. And we will just go quickly over a couple of things on this date in history. Go back to this week in 1950. This week in 1950, when banker Warburg basically declared that we would have world government by consent or conquest. And going right along with that, in the year 2001, only a matter of a few weeks after George W. Bush became president, yes, George W. Bush's IRS illegally seized the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. And everybody either doesn't remember that story or has forgotten that story, or a lot of the neocons don't want us to remember the story, but that was when the Indianapolis Baptist Temple refused to act as agents of tax collection, and they made it through the Clinton administration, but they only made 3 weeks into the Bush administration when they raided them with guns a-blazing and shut them down. So just to remind your neocons there what we're up against here. But without further ado, we'll go back to one of our favorite guests here on the phone line. He's been waiting patiently, or at least I think he's patiently waiting, and I think our good friend Frank Harris is on the line. Are you with us, Comrade Frank, deep in the bottom of Vietnam there?
I certainly hope this is on an encrypted, secure line, because I don't want to be found.
Well, it's a little late for that. We've got the drones and black helicopters flying over every Thursday night, but we'll get right to it. Frank, we hear that you are doing a lot of important work with the Libertarian Party of Kentucky. You want to inform the audience about what you've been up to?
Well, you know, I think it's important, and I wanted to do it carefully. I wanted to do it in a way that was befitting of a dignified state platform. I also wanted it to be meaningful. I looked at a lot of the other state platforms. I was looking not so much for ideas of content, but ideas of structure and style. And so some of the states have done really, really fine jobs of putting together the platform. Some were kind of haphazard. And some, like California's, was very, very detailed. It was 19 pages long, and I thought, well, that's a little bit much. So what I was trying to do was be concise. I wanted to follow the national platform and sort of use that as a framework. But I also wanted to put in issues that were relevant for Kentucky. We as Kentucky libertarians, we have some very specific ideas for how we believe we could make our state our state government better, less intrusive, and do the things it's supposed to do, not the things that they seem to do all the time.
Well, Frank, I can tell you, just reading from the Libertarian Party of Kentucky's website here, and of course, the full disclosure, our mutual friend Ken Moman, of course, does the show here on this network on Sunday nights, Liberty Unbridled, but just straight from the LPK webpage, you guys want to go visit on lpky.org, it says, born from an understanding that neither Republicans nor Democrats are interested in protecting the rights of the individual, libertarianism is a philosophy holding that a person should be free to live as that person so chooses and accepting responsibility for their own actions without forcibly affecting the lives of others. Well, I think that's a good start. That's something the neocons and the progressives don't know much about. So are you building on that that stance there?
Well, that's an important concept. And there's a lot of important concepts that we try to amplify. You know, it's the whole idea of the government is supposed to protect our rights. They're not supposed to tell us what we can't do. They're supposed to free us up so that we can reach our potential. And I think when you look at history, you know, Ron Paul has talked about this a lot over the years, what we've seen, the prosperity that we've seen has only come about in the last 150 to 200 years. And that coincided with the idea of self-rule, not serving a king, not serving a tyrant, not serving a government, but each person being free to labor and achieve and keep the fruits of their labor. And we've seen unprecedented prosperity, you know, on this continent in this period of time.
And what I understand with the Libertarian Party, obviously you have your own conventions, and they're not big controlled infomercials. They're actual real conventions like we used to see in the Uniparty, as we hear on the show, call the Republicans and Democrats, because they're really just one party. But in the Libertarian Party, I understand that unlike the Uniparty, using our tax dollars to force people to either participate or not participate in a primary, Libertarian Party, I understand from what Ken and yourself and others have told me, they fund their own convention and their own elections. And as far as primaries go, it's all handled within party. Is that correct?
That is correct, and we actually, in this rough draft of our platform, I'm the chairman of the platform committee, and the platform committee itself, we've hammered out so far two rough drafts. The second rough draft we just finished yesterday, and so one of the things we talk about in the platform itself is the idea that we should stop subsidizing the primaries of the two major parties. You know, we taxpayers pay for their primaries, and it's pretty outrageous because when you consider how much it costs to staff those all the polling places across the state and also to rent them, it in my own precinct we calculated one time it was something like $60 per vote that it costs the taxpayers. And that's you and me. It's independents. It's people that aren't even registered or paying for it.
Well, the libertarian concept I understand, too, especially here in Kentucky, and from what I've seen in research from other libertarian parties across the country, it's much like the caucus process in a state like Iowa. They're known for having that First in the Nation caucus, and that's actually a caucus rather than a primary, whereas it's held at local homes more than anything. It's not even at businesses. We know when we have elections, they're held in businesses and churches and other places that might seem a little contradictory if people don't normally go to those institutions. But caucuses are held in homes, and they don't use tax dollars. And I'm guessing that's a lot like the way the libertarians are doing it, because if we did it that way, I probably wouldn't have as much a concern of people using our tax dollars for their little smoke-filled backroom activity.
Well, the Libertarian Party, we just meet at our state convention, and we have our nominations there. We're so thinly spread out across the state. In a lot of counties, there might only be 10 or 15, you know, known libertarians. we believe that we've got a lot of libertarians that are unregistered or even registered incorrectly because on the state's ballot, and this is another thing we talk about in the platform, on the voter registration form, you can't even register to be libertarian. You have to register as other, and then you can write in libertarian. But a lot of people don't know that. So what we want to see is the word libertarian on the ballot.
Now, what I was going to say, Frank, is our friend Ken Molman has been fighting that, literally fighting that tooth and nail for a long time, trying to get the county clerk's offices across the state. Like here locally, we have Bobby Coleslaw, who runs the county clerk's office, and Ken has been trying to get those county clerk's offices to recognize libertarian. Now, I don't know all the details of this, but for a long time, he's had conversations with me where he told me that they had no idea how many people were choosing to register libertarian because, once again, these county clerk's offices that are all run by, surprise, surprise, Republicans and or Democrats. I don't think, correct me if there's news breaking here, that there's actually one of the 120 counties that has elected something other than Republican or Democrat to run their county clerk's office, but they don't even let people know how many people are registered as libertarians.
Well, from what Ken says, and I can't say enough nice things about Ken Molman, how smart he is, how committed he is, what a hardworking person he is. He's incredible. He's called up a lot of these counties and talked to the people in charge of these county. I don't even know what the offices are called, but where they tabulate the voter registration rolls and all that. And so these people, literally what they have to do to be in compliance with state law is they have to go through and take all the cards that are registered as other and go through them by hand and then figure out, if somebody was trying to register libertarian, if they wrote in the word libertarian, they're going to have to change their designation from other to libertarian. But in a lot of these counties, you're only talking about, counties with maybe, 20,000, 30,000 voters, and of those 20,000 or 30,000 voters, probably only 5%, 10% are registered as other. So it's not like it couldn't be done in a day or 2 days if you really, were working at it. So he's had to fight them.
It could, Frank. And the problem I've always seen, as we see, it's this whole catch-22. We can't get some of these laws changed, these antiquated laws about elections changed, because who writes the laws? The Republicans and Democrats write the laws. And I think what's interesting, you mentioned Ken Molman. We can't underestimate the intelligence of Ken Molman. And the irony is we brought Ken on here to the My View Matters radio network hosting a show back a couple of years ago, and it literally happened within a week or two, just happenstance, circumstance, that Ken Molman's show started here on this network within a week or two after the now infamous, yes, you got it, county and district conventions in the Republican Party. And, Frank, I believe that you were down there involved in Fayette Nam's version of those county conventions. How did that kind of have some consideration on you now being in the Libertarian Party?
Well, it's night and day, the approach that the Libertarian conventions, I've been to one national convention, the one in St. Louis 2 years ago, and I've been at, I think this will be my third state convention at the Libertarian Party. I only formally joined the Libertarian Party in May of 2012, but I've been going to their meetings for four years or more, and so.
But am I right or wrong, Frank, that the way that they treated us with their whole Red Star treatment, because ironically, we were friends with Ken Molman, am I right or wrong that kind of, I don't want to say they pushed you out the door, but didn't that kind of cause you to go to the Libertarian Party?
It did. I had seen enough after going through the 2008 election and seeing the way that the Republicans marginalized Ron Paul, how they treated Ron Paul at the state convention as far as the treatment of the people that supported him and the way that they formally voted to keep the very people who helped get Rand Paul elected, how they voted to keep them out of leadership positions here in Fayette County. I think it was May 23rd of 2012, I finally had enough and joined the Libertarian Party.
Well, the irony is they try to say they didn't want us in their Republican Party, Frank, and I I'm telling people the two reasons I stay in the Republican Party are one, because they can't find a way to kick my ass out, and number two, because I want to vote in the primaries. And Ken Mowman and I have had this discussion, and Ken and I have a gentleman's disagreement about. Ken has told me himself off the record that he just doesn't think that his one vote in the primary is that important to stay in the party, and I respect that. And again, the truth is the state parties that be, powers that be in the parties, should allow us. It is the parties. It's not the government. The parties are the government. If people are so ridiculously blind to think that the people are the government, but the parties are the government, and they should do kind of like they do in Indiana. I don't know if you follow the process over in Indiana, Frank, but over there, it's pretty much an open primary where you walk up, you get in a line going into the building, and because more people are allowed to participate, guess what? More people do turn out when they're actually allowed to use their tax dollars and participate, and they decide when they get to the polling spot which primary they're going to vote in, Republican or Democrat. Would you be in favor of something like that in the bluegrass?
Honestly, Dale, I think this is one of the few areas where you and I might disagree, other than possibly who's the best basketball team in the state. But I really think...
I'll stick with the defending champs. Go ahead.
I'll give you that one. And so, in my opinion, the parties are they're basically a club. They're a private organization. And
right.
As that, I respect the right to allow whoever they want to vote or not vote in their private organization. That being said, subsidizing these private organizations, let them pay for their own primaries.
No, I agree. That's why I said we don't really disagree on that, Frank, because that's the thing. If it's going to be a private party, if they truly view it as their little beer and pizza party at a frat house and they don't want us coming up on the porch of their frat house while they're sitting out there in their drunken stupor, then they should call it such, and they should stop asking us to be their mommy and daddy that send the money for the beer and pizza.
Well, the fact is in most counties, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, neither one would have enough money to open the doors to have the schools open for voting in
nope.
the primaries.
Nope.
They would have to pay the schools like everybody else. And they would have to staff them like everybody else. And, they're being subsidized to the tune of several thousand dollars per polling place every time there's an election.
Well, and the thing about it, like I said, those same folks, and again, you and I had discussions of what you all dealt with in Fayette County. And ironically, the two biggest counties in the state, surprise, surprise, are the two that also had the most ridiculous process in those conventions 2 years ago. But for example, they told us they didn't want us in their party. But here you now have, we have a primary for a state representative in one of these many, many races in Kentucky, Frank. There's a primary in part of Louisville, actually in a district in which I used to live, where the former county chairman, whose name we won't name here, not worth giving it a free publicity, she's the one who looked at us and told us that she did not want us in her party. But now she wants our votes in the primary, Frank, and she's going up against a very good constitutionalist that you and I know, Phil Moffitt. So what about the fact that 2 years ago she told us we didn't belong in her party, that we should all go to the Libertarian Party, but now she wants our votes in the primary? What say you, Frank?
Well, listen, we saw the same thing in 2012. We saw the same thing in 2010. It's, they just totally were disrespectful to the Ron Paul people. And then they wanted us to turn around and vote for John McCain. 2012, same thing. They hated us, and they cheated Ron Paul out of no telling how many wins in various states all around the country. And then we're supposed to play the party loyalty game and be loyal to the party and vote for Mitt Romney, a socialist.
They said as much in the documentary, Frank. If you got a chance to see. In the documentary about Mitt Romney, I believe it's just called Mitt, was the title that's available on Netflix. In the end of this documentary, I wouldn't encourage anyone to force himself to sit through the whole thing, but fast forward towards the end, and in the last several minutes of the documentary, Mitt Romney is sitting there in his own words. He says that they pretty much had to steal the nomination from Ron Paul because they were rich Northeastern Mormons, and the Republican Party wouldn't have gone for them if they hadn't stolen it.
Well, and they've doctored the rules to a degree now where they sort of implemented these rules before they were in place, where the presumptive nominee, is that the right word, presumptive? Where the presumptive nominee gets to handpick the delegates. So they elect these delegates at the state convention, and then lo and behold, the presumptive nominee who doesn't even have the nomination yet is allowed to just say, well, I want to put my own people in their place, even though they weren't elected.
So well, it's just ironic
this is almost exactly the same routine that the Nazi Party followed. I'm using that word deliberately because
I understand. A lot of people say once you start talking about Nazis, you lose the argument, but I can't disagree. It's all about control.
I say let them look up the history and then debate me on this point because I'm right on this and you know it.
I don't disagree with it. Do you want to give anybody any peek into this platform you're working on yet, or is that has to stay sealed for a while?
I don't mind. I don't mind at all. So we took the national platform basically, and we wanted to sprinkle it with Kentucky issues. And one of the ideas that I did get from one of the other states, and I can't remember which one, but I thought, you know, what good's a platform if you don't say how it applies to your own state? So what I wanted to do was come up with some things that we know, that you and I know, and people like us know, what's wrong with the state government. Well, one of the big things is that they've racked up $27 billion in debt. And so you can't function for very long piling up debt year after year and never paying it down. That's obvious. Anybody that has a household budget, or anybody that has a business or runs an organization knows you can't just keep piling up debt. It doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't, Frank. And the guy who claims to be the leader of the party, at least in this state, we know he's the godfather of the party in this state, Mr. Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr., the lifetime government kid himself. He, of all people, should know that, and he just orchestrated the increasing, once again, of the debt ceiling. I don't think that's something that somebody who is for liberty would do.
No, it's not. So we specifically talk about debt and paying down debt and how debt is a trap, and how we're putting the, and this is a known truism, we're putting all this debt on people that aren't even born yet, that can't vote on it. We're handing them the debt without their say-so, and everybody knows that. Anybody with any sense knows that. But that's one of the things we talk about. We talk about just the whole way that laws are enacted. You see it all the time. They come up with some excuse for creating a new law, and the law itself is poorly written. The intent is not really what the stated intent is, and so they come up with a cute little name, you know, that Megan's Law or whatever, and then they call it something to get people's attention and their sympathy, and then the law does nothing of the sort of what it's advertised. It's not constitutional the way it's written. The people that vote on it don't know what they're voting on most of the time. And so what we talk about in there, and this is another idea that I've seen in other state platforms and ideas that I've seen over the years that I heartily embrace, and that's the idea that every law written should have a sundown clause.
Yeah.
What I also say in there is that it ought to have an expressed paragraph or two about the intent of the law. It should also have a paragraph or two about the constitutional justification which allows the law to exist.
Oh, I totally agree.
The other thing is that everybody that votes for the law ought to be sworn. They should have to sign an affidavit saying, or it should be implied with every law signed, that they have thoroughly read the law, thoroughly understand the law, and will perjure themselves if the law is proven to be unconstitutional, or something to that effect.
Frank, I want to run this by you in our last several minutes here. One of our commenters in the chat room, I want to get your comment on this. He said, I think you've been talking about this a little bit before, what the Libertarian Party has done for those who have kind of had this mass exodus. We saw Ken Mulman's numbers about the the big increased membership in the party when they'll actually count their membership. But one of our guests in the chat room says, until the conservatives, Tea Party, and libertarians break off and form their own party, all is status quo. Your comments about that?
Well, you know, if we tried to break off right now, and the libertarians have already broken off. The libertarians
right.
have been their own party for 30-plus years. We're obviously very, very small. We're lucky in any given election to get from 1% to 3% of the total vote. But I believe that as more and more people start to become aware of us, that you're going to see a gradual movement in our direction. And I think, like all movements, it reaches a critical mass at some point, and everybody sort of wakes up, and all of a sudden it's there, and it's been there the whole time, but nobody knew it was there. And I think that you're going to see chunks of people breaking away from the other two parties. I think that there's so many people that are fed up with the two-party system and recognize how bad it is, recognize that it's not really even two parties, it's one party with two factions.
The uniparty.
And
yeah.
I think that as more people hear the ideas that the libertarians espouse, they're going to say, hey, I agree with that. What's, you know, where's the other party? Where's my party on this? Just look
well, it's
at
the
like,
uniparty like, in Kentucky. Yeah, it's the uniparty in Kentucky, Frank. And for a long time, it was really easy for Republicans to talk about how Democrats had run the state since the Civil War. Well, that's fine and dandy, but when you're just on the other side and you're happy with losing and you don't present any ideals of substance, then where are you going to get? I mean, I think you and I and Ken would all agree there are several things that if we could get the people in the uniparty, whether the Democratic side or the Republican side of the uniparty, to stop drinking the cyanide-laced Kool-Aid for a moment, we need to get some laws in there like no more straight ticket voting. We know that kills any independent
right.
chances.
That's right.
Yeah, we know we don't need to be funding, as you said, the parties don't need to be getting their funding from everybody else. And I would say we also need to have something that Mr. Ed Martin, who's on the airwaves here Monday night and Tuesday night, has been saying. We need to have a none of the above or NOTA on the all the ballots.
We talked about that, and if I forgot to put it in the platform, I'm going to put it in the 1.3 version right now. I believe we put it in there, but if we did not, we intended to. Yeah. Good idea.
Uh-oh. There you are, Frank. Sorry, I had the black helicopters overhead here for a moment. I had to mute myself. But I was just going to say this is the fastest moving show on Blog Talk, and one of the most popular ones. I want you to explain to everybody, if they want to go learn more about the Libertarian Party locally or statewide, without putting you on the spot here, how would you tell them that they can get a hold of folks to find out more?
It's real easy to do. If you Google us, Libertarian Party of Kentucky, you'll find us. On Facebook, same thing. If you look for libertarians, Kentucky Libertarians, you'll find us. And we've got a really nice page on Facebook. We've got a really nice page on the internet, and you can see everything there is to see about us except for the platform, because the platform does not exist yet. It will exist after March the 1st and the 2nd. We're having our state convention those 2 days in Danville, Kentucky. You don't even have to be a libertarian to attend our convention.
I was going to ask you to plug that. We have one of our good friends, Paul, from Stop Invisible Taxes in the chat room. He said the evidence of the effectiveness of the movement is everywhere. The uniparty would not be spending so much time, effort, and money trying to discredit us if we were not being successful. I think that's very clear from what they did here in Louisville, where instead of fielding decent candidates, they were happy with getting their backsides kicked in primaries, even than those they didn't even field a candidate, because they were more concerned with tracking me, and I guess they were their own little version of the NSA. They were stalking me around the social networks to find out I was friends with Ken Mulman, because that was more important to them than getting anything successfully accomplished. But that's neither here nor there. Like you said, the convention is coming up. You said it's in Danville. That's going to be held on March the 1st. And is it 2 days or one day?
First, it's a two-day event. And you know, what I really was impressed by at the state conventions that I went to before I was a libertarian and at the National Convention, we actually discuss issues and we allow the members to vote on them. We don't just let the committees meet in the back room and then come out and say, just rubber stamp what the committee said and shut up. That's what the Republicans have done.
Are you saying you encourage people to think for themselves, Frank? Are you like in an Al-Qaeda or something?
We encourage people to think. We encourage people to participate. We encourage people to voice their opinions and bring them to the marketplace of ideas.
Right, that's like Al-Qaeda talk there. You must be one of those terrorists. It's a good thing we're this segment when we are, Frank, because you might be one of those Al-Qaeda guys over there in the cave with the flies on their face. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'm about to put a fatwa on you.
Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. I better get to the breaking music before you do that. Frank, we do something on this show we call Final Thoughts. Any final thoughts you want to give to our growing audience?
Well, no, Dale, I really appreciate you having me on your show. It's always the most fun I'll have all day long. I enjoy listening to your show, and I believe, my friend, that people like you are the future.
Well, we didn't have to pay Frank for that. I mean, he came on here, you know, all cost on his own, and NSA will be coming to your doorstep pretty soon, Frank. So if you want to go back in the queue here, we'll put you back in here with the multiple people listening on hold. That what Frank Harris telling us about the Libertarian Party of Kentucky. Like you said, you can go visit them at lpky.org if you want to find out more about their convention. We will go to our fast-moving musical break, and we'll be back with our second half-hour guest.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
advertisers. Here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. Again, we thank our good friend Frank Harris of the Libertarian Party of Kentucky, who we had on for the first half hour. For those who ask, of course, we opened up the show tonight with some of our favorite bumper music, Ain't No Grave by Johnny Cash, and we just came back in with a little Problem Child by AC/DC, because they see us as the problem children, the globalists who want to control us with their own little cabal of occultic thinking. And that's our next topic here. We're going to bring on our good friend Matt Singleton. Matt, are you on the air with us, brother?
Yes, Dale. How are you going? Do you hear me well? Oh, well?
I hear you fine, brother. Just stay away from the drones above you and the police behind you if you happen to be eating while you're driving, because you know they'll put you in a cage for that now. But we were talking about liberty, and we know that the globalists don't really want us to have liberty, so I thought it'd be a good time to talk about all the ridiculous things we see in the media, in the mainstream, and in government when it comes to their fascination, as I can only think of a better word to call it, that with the occult. You want to give the people kind of a sample of your research on the occult and how it's, I think it's getting worse with the globalists.
All right. By the way, I just wanted to kind of mention, I found an archive of New World Order history, and that was a guy, I think it was some black activist, journalist, reporter from L.A., wrote this article against Rand Paul when he was in the primaries, and he talked about the terrible company that Rand Paul had. And
yeah,
it turned
he's talking
out
about UMA, right?
American Family Association and people who liked Ron Paul, and they even mentioned my show,
yeah.
Matt Singleton, Bible Smack, and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, for those of y'all who don't know, Matt and Clint Hardy and myself, we did Kentucky and Grassroots Radio for a long time. They got that started years ago, and he also does a more Bible-centric show. And again, I can only think that when it comes to the Bible, these globalists, I mean, they have their own religion, but I guess it's the occult, Matt, the globalists who control the Obamas and the Bushes and the Clintons. Is it just globalism equals the occult with these guys?
Well, you know, I guess like the term right now that a lot of people use the term Illuminati, and I think an equivalent name that people should be aware of is Luciferianism.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to make that the equivalent of Satanism. Satanism is a sect of anti-Christianity, but it's not quite the same as Luciferianism. And basically, you see these Illuminati symbols a lot. I think, you know, you go to check out YouTube and look up Illuminati, and you'll find dozens and dozens of videos talking about it. Yeah, and we know the occult symbols, the pyramids with the eyeballs, the, you know, people giving up the sign of the beast and 666 and all sorts of variations. And you see it everywhere. One I noticed was the symbol for the sun god Kronos,
mm-hmm.
Which is what we think of chronology and stuff like that. Going around downtown Louisville, you can see the symbol for Kronos on church windows, and you can also see it, like I've seen it in bankers and business buildings and stuff like that. I used to have to do a delivery service, and I did a delivery up at a bank, and at the very top floor it had Kronos and the Egyptian eye and all that kind of stuff up there.
Oh, the banksters love the occult, Matt. The you know, the banksters are all about the occult. And like you said, we see this. I don't really get into it. You know, I try to avoid the mainstream press. But if people are watching the things that most eyeballs are on, not just the Illuminati's one eyeball, but all the humanoids' eyeballs are on things like the Super Bowl and the Grammy Awards. And we see this stuff is put out there, not even covert anymore. It's very overt. And again, I think it goes along with the globalist agenda, because these guys are New World occult globalists.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm kind of trying to figure out where to start is my only issue with kind of talking about the subject. Do we want to start with where it historically started thousands of years ago, or do we want to start modern and go backwards?
I think we'll have to focus just to, for constraints of time, we'll have to focus on the modern because, like I said, we can go back, even if we just go back, I'd say we just take it back a few decades. Heck, look what happened with, we've talked about it on this show many times, George Herbert Walker Bush, and I call him George New World Order Bush because how ironic, on September 11th, 1991, he gave a speech saying that we all had to become part of a new world order. And then we can also look at the books who have been written or have been written in the last two decades about things like the Bohemian Grove and the Council on Foreign Relations. And we got things like the Bilderberg Group that picks a different place every year to meet where all the globalists get together. And like I said, they're pretty much their own religion. I mean, this is not, I mean, we have people listening to the show who are Christians, Jews, atheists, but this is basically them saying that they're better than you and they want to be your God. So I would say the focus that we were looking on the show tonight to bring on and talk about is just what you see going forward from like George Herbert Walker, New World Order Bush until now.
Well, I did want to cover a little bit of history because we got to kind of put this in reality. And
sure.
Where it goes in reality is that I'll start off with ancient times. You had the ancient empires that kind of ruled things. We'll call that the old order, okay? So we're thinking new order, there was an old order. And essentially, you know, you see a lot of this, the Bible records a lot of it, Tower of Babel and the Babylonian Empire and the succession of empires that kind of happened later. One thing that was interesting is the character that was, you know, the initiator of Tower of Babel and the Babylonian Empire was a fellow named Nimrod called a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, when you go hunting, you have different tools to hunt with. And if you are hunting mankind, you use different tools. And the tools that they use typically are religion, the economy, the government, psychology, and so on and so forth. Now, in ancient days, they used to talk about people who are sorcerers and people who dealt in magic. And we typically think of it from the villager's point of view of this is some sort of weird power and we don't understand it. But actually, archaeologists are finding out that the ancient empires had huge amounts of high technology available that we never knew about. You know, people talk about how hard it was to make the pyramids, and they're discovering that Egyptians actually made use of electricity. And you see, what happened was is they would have this high source of technology, and they would keep it away from the common people. They would keep the educational system away from the common people. The people were illiterate. And so
well, bring it back up.
People,
yeah, I was just going to say, man, bring the education system up. Right, no, I got you there. No, the education system, they'll bring it up to today, too. Remember, they're all about this elitism, this social Darwinism. So, again, they gratify all these theories, and they have the social Darwinism that basically goes along and coincides with their elitist belief system. They have this eugenic system. They have the selective breeding, and this is where we get into people like not the puppets that you all see that are supposedly your elected leaders, but the marionette string pullers, as I call them, the ones behind them. You look at the Bill Gates of the world. You look at those guys who are out there saying that their goal is to create a better condom to keep people away or to have more eugenics so they can have less people on the planet because they see us as a major threat to the planet, Matt.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, you know, you talk about social Darwinism. Another guy to look up in that same vein is Friedrich Nietzsche. And basically he would poll that there's two types of people, the people with a will to truth and the people with a will to power. Now, most of us common people would say, you want the will to truth. You want to know what the truth is and do the right thing. But Nietzsche said, no, no, no. You want the will to power. And the will to power is a guy who's a chameleon. He'll lie to you. He'll do anything he can to get to the top because it's survival of the fittest. You don't worry about afterlife or judgment or morality or anything. So you essentially have this evil tyrant in the philosophy of Nietzsche. And Nietzsche embodies not only Hitler's Nazism, you know, loved Nietzsche, but also today's postmodernists. The postmodern movement loves Friedrich Nietzsche. Okay?
Well, their collectivism today with the Bushes and the Clintons and the Obamas, the people think that there's any difference there. That's why they all flew on a plane together to go see the arch-terrorist Mandela's funeral because They're all one and the same, but the collectivism they use today is social control. They experimented for hundreds of years with these different forms of social organization, and the elite have concluded that their collectivism is the best form of social control. And for this reason, look at the United Nations, look at totalitarian China. It's considered, quote unquote, the model state for the future.
Well, what you have is like, so you have dueling philosophies of socialism as opposed to anything else. You know, you really don't have libertarianism or constitutionalism even brought into it. The Republican Party was infiltrated with fascism and the fascist version of socialism early on in the 1940s and 50s. And you see connections with, you know, the funding of Hitler and things like that. And people have talked about the Bush's connection with the Nazi Party. Just as much on the Democrat side, you saw the infiltration of the Communist Party back in the 50s with McCarthy saying, you know, watch out for these pinkos. You know, they're coming in, they're taking over. And we thought, hey, it's 1950. Who are you to say that there are communists coming into our system? And then what happens in the 60s? Make love, not war. Let's downgrade Americans' military because the rest of the world is communist, so we want the communists to take us over. And, you know, you had all these people, you know, what were the Beatles saying? They were talking about back in the USSR and all that kind of stuff. You know, you had this infiltration of the communist ideology. And so basically you have this duel between, are we going to be a fascist America or a communist America?
Well, it's definitely fascism. It's definitely fascist today, and even our friend Paul from Stop Invisible Taxes, he and I have been on these airwaves talking about the people who think fascism, they don't like it if we talk about fascism because they like to say that, you know, here's the Nazis, and, oh, if you're not right, left-wing or right-wing, and we've been trying to fight against that left-right paradigm for a long time because the same globalists gave us capitalism as the same globalists who gave us socialism. So you have capitalists who are urging socialist measures to address their needs. And again, you look at the Marxists, you have the socialist strategy. In short, the evidence of capitalist globalization is patchy at best. And like I said, nothing we have today is real capitalism. It's crony capitalism at best and fascism at worst because of the corporations and the government in bed together.
Well, and don't forget that they're not only, you know, people who care about politics, okay? They have infiltrated other aspects of life, like psychology, like religion, okay? They did that very early on. For instance, you know, we talked about the Mormon religion, okay? The Mormon religion was started by Joseph Smith, who was a third-degree Mason. His father was also a high-ranking Mason. And, you know, when you look at their religion, the Masonic Temple, the Mormon Temple, different things like that. Well, I'll just put it to you like this. I'm not surprised that they're the third-largest economic entity of the American West and that 66% of America's CIA belongs to the Mormon Church. Now, I know that, you know, we don't want to ruffle too many political feathers, but, you know, I'm all about ruffling everybody's feathers. The thing is, though, is they infiltrate all sorts of religions because they wanted to push these socialist beliefs. And so American liberalism and stuff was just communism being put into the Protestant churches. And they did that so that they could get everybody used to infiltrating and starting up a communist philosophy. You know, this whole idea that we need to feel guilty about America's past because America was freedom-loving, and then we also...
Well, that was definitely in the past. So, definitely not today.
Yeah. Well, but here's another thing, though, okay? America's Christian past, the thing was the biblical morality said freedom of the press, okay? Biblical morality said freedom of the press, and that's why we got our technology. Because people are able to exchange ideas.
Right. No, I don't want to interrupt you there, Matt. So I want to go back to today because we just had a story, and I doubt that many people in the mainstream press would have heard this, but there was a story about how this group in Greece, this is just from this week, how this quote-unquote leftist extreme group was declaring war on the German capitalist machine, which is kind of laughable. But basically, you had these presidential guards were framed through a burned EU flag in front of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Athens. And this is, you know, it's just like we didn't hear anything about the civil wars going over in Georgia, the former Soviet Republic. We don't hear about what's going on in Ukraine because it's not cool and they're afraid that people might get ideas. But you had this quote-unquote anarchist group that called itself the Popular Fighters claiming to be behind a rocket attack on the offices of Mercedes-Benz in the Greek capital. And again, if we look at this, this is the problem. These people got it all wrong, and we had this Occupy movement that was big in Louisville for you know, a cup of coffee or so, as they say. And this Occupy movement didn't last very long, and I was hoping they would, because they kind of were getting the other side of the left wing, kind of like the Tea Party was on the right wing. What people need to realize is that it's two sides of the same coin. We talk about left and right being two sides of the same coin. Look at socialism. I know you've talked about Karl Marx before on your show, and Karl Marx never attacked the international bankers. The international finance's main goal is the totalitarian system built on a Karl Marx model. So people think that they're all on different angles, but they're all in it together. China is a perfect example. We've talked about Agenda 21. It's come right here to Louisville and Lexington, Kentucky, and China is controlled through the central bank. That's where all the Agenda 21 policies got started.
Well, and here's the thing. It's not about who can produce the best as much as it's a group of parasites. Okay,
yep.
Parasites live off of other people. So let's look at Greece. Greece's economy fell apart. Germany is the most effective economy in Europe, okay, because even though they're socialist and nationalistic. So basically, because they're the most successful, what does Greece do? They attack Germany, okay? Now, of course, they couldn't militarily truly attack Germany. You just had like a little terrorism. But why is it that they're doing that? Because their ability lies in the ability to suck other people dry, okay? They're not there to make money. They're not there to be positive. They are parasites. So these groups.
Well, the international socialists. Yeah, the international socialists and the international capitalists are just two sides, like I said, of a different coin. Frank and I were just talking about the Democrats and Republicans are just two sides of the same coin, and so are socialism and capitalism, because they were made from the same metal. And again, after they disbanded the communist model, or how they call it, now we just have pure globalism. It's just world government. And just because, you know, somebody like Hitler or somebody said something didn't make it so. Remember, socialism was supposed to represent the working man, and that's the garbage that they fed us, the propaganda machine. And now what we have now are bankers who only benefit themselves by exploiting all the vulnerable. And you talked about these other countries in Greece and the economy. Look what Iceland did. Iceland got it right. They put the banksters in prison. That's something that they'll never do here in the United States. Or do you think they ever will do that, Matt?
Well, you know, I say with God all things possible. It's just that we're not with God right now. So,
well, I mean, the banksters, they run this country. They put them in cages in Iceland, whereas over here, if you eat and drive, or you smoke and drive, or God forbid, you're drinking a 40-ounce soft drink or 22-ounce soft drink and drive, they're going to throw you in a cage if they're in a bad mood. We've seen, and I'm sorry, we don't want to be anti-police here, because we've had some jackbooted thugs who think that we're just anti-police. But Ed Springsteen, who runs this network, it's pretty common knowledge now. He got arrested one night a couple of years ago because he wanted to film what the cops were doing to his son, and then he got put in a cage for it. So over here, again, like I just said, we're the ones exploited by the fascism, and then they call it socialism. The error is the deliberate point to me is that people become so conditioned to regard socialism as a fell influence, they're going to be far less likely to oppose the fascists when they call for open fascism.
Dale, did you see, like, they've got two posters up on the road, and they're both, and they're supposed to be positive, okay? They like this, okay? But
right.
Greg Fisher and the Archdiocese are putting the sign of the beast to the police. Okay,
right.
Like, oh, well, we just wanted to say you rock. And it's like, you know, I'm like, okay, let me just pose the sign of the beast and say, I'm here for you, cops, the sign of the beast. I mean, you know.
They're all about Agenda 21.
Revelation is a world government, by the way.
Yeah, no, they're all about Agenda 21 and world government. I mean, this is stuff that my good friend, the late, great Norm Davis, to take back Kentucky, was preaching this stuff 20 years ago, and they all thought he was crazy. You know, when we said there's drones, they thought we were crazy. Now we found out last week on the show, we talked about it's now been maybe 2 or 3 years ago, Paul Holliger and I were talking about this on the air, is that someone actually got arrested by drone out west, I believe in Montana. And it's been 2 years, and now it just now came out. But yet, when we talked about that, They thought we were crazy.
We don't know what all this administration has done as far as, like, you know, how many people have died and the death toll and stuff like that. We probably won't know for 5, 10, 20 years.
Well, they told us we were crazy when we told them before, Matt, that there were going to be these concentration camps. When we told them that they were going to put Americans in prison camps, that just that turns people off. And some people will say that we're going all Alex Jones on them. But, again, last week I put it up on the social networks for people who are on those and on my social networks, and I talked to them about Judge Scalia himself was giving a speech, and he said he would not be surprised to see prison camps in the United States again. This is one of the Supremes, one of the guys who wears the black muumuus. And I said, I guess maybe if he's saying it, they'll believe it, because they didn't believe it when we said it 2 or 3 years ago, Matt.
Well, they'll probably put a positive spin on it.
Well, Jesse Ventura investigated
this
a couple years ago.
You know, we can go to camp. Go to prison camp.
Yeah, I mean, Jesse Ventura investigated this on his conspiracy theory show a couple of years ago, Matt, and now if you try to find that episode of Conspiracy Theories, not only did the channel True TV bury his show where nobody would ever know where to find it, it was laughable because you never knew when it was going to air, but it's a known fact that people have given sworn testimony that they had that episode about the concentration camps on their DVR, and it was removed from all DVR. So I'm sure that was just an accident. I'm sure they all just accidentally erased that important show.
Well, the whole point is that they are smart enough to say, hey, let's get control of the media. Let's get control of the government. Let's get control of the churches. And when you repeat something long enough, even Hitler was talking about that, when you repeat something long enough, everybody believes it's the truth.
Yeah,
so
it was actually North Dakota. Make correct, it was actually North Dakota. Yeah, where someone was arrested by drone 3 years ago, Matt. That was actually in North Dakota. But again, I'm watching these things out on the social networks where people will bust into houses and they're the police, so they've got to be right, and they're killing 80-year-old men because they smelled a foul odor. They're killing people's dogs because they thought they smelled marijuana in the house. And I guess that would be the where I'd end up with this, Matt. A long, long time ago, they thought they had us all controlled because they thought people like yourself who come from more of the religious side of this, because you are a reverend, and they thought that they could keep people divided into these camps. So here over here is the religious people, and over here is those crazy people who want marijuana or hemp. How's that worked out for them, Matt?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, people are starting to finally kind of hear about the truth a little bit. I don't know how it's going to go in the long run. That's why, you know, I have my faith and stuff like that. But let me tell you about, like, some of the games that they play with our minds sometimes. Science, okay? And you really, you know, I saw this in that creation debate that happened last week.
Yeah.
We believe in science because it's about observational truth. Okay, I observed it, therefore it's real. But modern science, they want to bring it back to paganism and alchemy, okay? They want to focus on things that are not observed. So then once you start believing that, like, let's say this, okay? I'm not saying whether this is truth or error. The whole world thinks it's one way, so, you know, I'll sound insane if I argue with it. But, you know, the earth revolves around the sun. At 6 or 7 years old, you're taught that at a very, very young age. And why is that a fact that's important for a 6 or 7 year old to learn? Because it teaches you science is true even if you do not observe it, because we do not observe that action. So,
well,
they
science
there,
is supposed
they say,
to be where,
man,
yeah, science
DNA.
Is supposed to be. Go ahead.
Okay, they go from there and they teach evolution that man used to be an ape. Why? Not because of observation. Okay, they have not observed that, but now they say, okay, you are something totally different than what you are. Therefore, you don't have special rights. Okay, because we have special rights because we are created at a higher order. Well, if you're not created at higher order, you no longer have rights. They teach
right.
you these things.
To right. What I was
going to
say is about science. Yeah, what I was going to say about science is science gets out there and they tell you they want you to discover things and they want you to have theories and they want you to develop these theories. But what people need to remember, and I put this down on social networks after that debate, that creation, evolution, whatever you want to call it, debate that they had on television up in Northern Kentucky, Matt, I said people got to remember, just because someone puts on a lab coat and is a highly paid TV actor doesn't make them a scientist. That's That's kind of be my closing comment on that Bill Nye, the so-called science guy, because he's not a scientist of any kind. He's a former big-time employee at one of the industrial complex organizations, and he was never a scientist, but he was a very highly paid actor. So they put him on TV in a lab coat, and we're supposed to believe everything he says.
And that's how they control the secular world. The secular world is controlled by a religion that we call science. It goes back to alchemy, the pagan science of alchemy, okay? And, you know, the religious people, no doubt about it, they get controlled too. They get into all these religious holy roller figures and all this kind of stuff instead of, you know, being able to think on their own. And, you know, I think that no matter what, we all got to be able to be responsible, think for ourselves, and figure out, is this true or is this just popular opinion? Because once you get into popular opinion, you know that it goes back to this occultic New World Order mentality. Okay, popular opinion really doesn't mean much of anything.
I can't agree with that. Yeah, we're running out of time, unfortunately, as we get into a little bit of the overdrive. So folks, we'll go into overdrive for a couple seconds here. But Matt, if people want to hear your show, if you want to give some of the self-plugs here, what are your final thoughts, your final thoughts for the audience tonight?
Okay, you can check me out at www.biblesmack.net. I have two radio shows, KGR, Tech Anniversaries Radio, and Bible Smack Radio. I've also been writing on a new philosophy called Biblical Historical Science. And, I'm proud to be on the show here with Dale, and I pray that Ed Springsteen ends up healed and well.
I appreciate those good thoughts there, Matt. Again, folks, it's the fastest moving show on Blog Talk Radio. You have been listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. And this was our first of 3 weeks that we're going to be bringing on some guests. And not because we don't want to wax poetic about the Constitution, but we want to bring over some different angles and different points of view. And again, if people want to listen to these things, we're going to be on the airwaves here Sunday night through Thursday night. On Sundays, our good friend Ken Molman has Liberty Unbridled. Then Monday and Tuesday nights, Ed Springsteen and Ed Martin are back. And then Wednesday night, I come on here with Ed. And finally, Thursday night, we do the Thursday Night Truth Show. And the bottom line is this. We have leaders out there who are like Mitch McConnell, who claim to be representing you as a quote-unquote Republican, who wants to keep increasing the debt limit, who wants to bail out companies, who wants to bail out banks, who wants to put the taxpayers on the other end of that dole. And then you got a president like Barack Obama, who came out this week and said in a visit with the French president that the good thing about being president, I can do whatever I want. And that didn't start with him. Remember, going back to George W. Bush, he said, I wouldn't have a problem with being a dictator if I was the dictator. And then before him, you had Bill Clinton saying, stroke of the pen, law of the land. I kind of like that. We've tried to warn you about both sides of the false left-right paradigm. We've tried to warn you about what's going on. You have the picture of an Obama or a McConnell or a Harry Reid or a John Boehner standing up there and going from left to right. You look at their measurements. You look at the fact they don't represent we the people. We allow this crap to get elected. If you want to stand up and fight it, you don't have to leave these people in office. We have elections every 2 years. We have some very important elections coming up here in Louisville, in Kentucky, and in the nation. And we've been trying to tell you, we've been trying to bring America back on the right tracks, whether you're black, white, whether you're male, female, whether you're young, old, whether you're rich, poor. We're trying to avoid the Great Civil War because that's the linchpin to our present-day immersion into tyranny. You think we're all idiots because we tell you that the Republic is failing. Well, what proof do you have that this republic is going to last much longer? Do the idiots who run this country really think we're that dumb? Yes, they do, because they are the control freaks. They worship these presidents in these government indoctrination camps that we call public schools. And you have these movements of pride where they want to pit black versus white, where they want to pit rich versus poor, male versus female. Well, what people gained with their civil rights was not an insurgency back to the rule of law, but it was a special deal with the occupied government. Just as the opium farmers in Afghanistan got a deal from the NATO occupation. No constitution there, folks. No rule of law. No rule of law at all. The people in power think nothing of the Constitution. and they have little to no respect for it, whether it be the current occupant of the White House, who's done everything he can do to destroy it, or whether it was the last occupant, George W. Bush, who said the Constitution wasn't nothing but a GD piece of paper. Look at the treason of what's going on in your country. Are you going to stand up to it? Are you going to keep being a sheep? Choice is yours.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
Truth.